All right. Today's title is Decree a Thing. Okay? Now, when I'm talking about decreeing, okay, let me give you some examples. We decree that strongholds over our nation are being broken. Spiritual giants that oppose our nation and around the world are being toppled. We decree that God has amazing grace available for America. God's amazing grace is sufficient.
Yes, it is.
Fresh winds of revival are blowing. Nations and governments will be reformed. The spirit of Jezebel is coming down. Is coming down. Is coming down. Three times. Power there. Power. We decree that the spirit of fear is bound. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and self-control. We decree that the spirit of timidity is bound over the righteous. For the righteous are bold as lions. We decree that Christ's ecclesia is boldly speaking out with authority language. That's how you decree. Not up to you to make it happen, but you are to decree it. God's job is to make it happen. You decree it and decree it in faith.
Yep.
I want you to say this with me, please. I am anointed by the Holy Spirit to receive declarations of breakthrough. I have the power to shape my world by the words I speak. I will open my mouth and decree what God says, and things will shift and change for me. I will decree my promises, and they will be established for me. Light will shine on all my ways. Amen. You know, Job, right? I did say Job. Okay, we're going to be looking at the chapter 22. You know, the book of Job is the oldest book in the Bible. It was written by Moses. Yeah, he wrote the book of Job. But he also wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Now, he didn't write the last couple chapters of Deuteronomy. He wasn't there. Joshua finished the book, okay? Let's get that clear. Well, you say, wow. But you know what? You say he couldn't live to die. But you know, God gave him what to say and what to write by the Holy Spirit. God picked him.
Yeah.
On the mountain, God said, here's the Ten Commandments. Write them down, Moses. He spent 40 years in the wilderness. Yeah, he definitely had time to write.
Yeah.
You know, he was one of the greatest leaders in history, in the world. And you know, Moses, he understood a thing or two about authority. He was trained to be a Pharaoh. He was raised in Pharaoh's house. And he understood authority language. Now, he wrote down for us a powerful principle here in Job 22, verse 28. That reinforces the dominion mandate. Hear that, brother? Dominion mandate. Holy Ghost puts things in motion, I believe it. And it starts from the very beginning and continues through each and every one of us. And he wrote them down, that mandate, in Genesis, in chapter 1. He didn't get very far. Chapter 1. You will also decree a thing, and it will be established for you. And light will shine on your ways. Decree a thing, and it will be established for you. And it's God's job who will establish it. That's His job. Now, you're there. Look up to verse 21, 22 and 23. Now, you're going to say, this is different. Yeah, because this is the voice translation. Now, be of use to God. Be at peace with Him. How many of you are at peace with God? If you're upset with God, you definitely aren't at peace with Him. You wonder why things are being sort of a little bit of chaos in your own home? You've got to be at peace with God. So that sounds like a really great idea, doesn't it? And goodness will return to your life. I don't know, but I want that goodness. I want to be at peace with my Lord. Verse 22. Receive instruction directly from His lips and make His words a part of you. So word up. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. You shall be constantly in it. That's what that means in the Hebrew. You shall be constantly in it, that you may observe and to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous. You will be able to make your way prosperous. He gives you the directions. It's up to you. And when you do, you will prosper. And then you will have good success. Verse 23. I like it. If. There's that if. If you return to Almighty God, the highest one, you will be restored. Here you go, bro. If you banish the evil from your tent. We must do this. We need to seek out God and to get the evil out. But also, that takes you to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked evil ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. Hallelujah. Don't be moved by what you see or hear, letting your emotions control you. I'm telling you, don't back off of your praying. Press on even more now. And it's through intercession that things are happening. Things are moving. It takes intercession. That's praying. Interceding. Who are we interceding on? In behalf of our nation? Right. Upon your neighbors? Yeah. Upon those in Afghanistan? The church there? The church in Iran? They're growing. But it takes intercession. When there's enough voices out there, when the church is praying, things are happening. God is on the move, folks. Because it says in James, the effectual, fervent prayer of righteous men and women avails much. Job 22:27, and we'll add verse 28 of the, from the voice. When you pray to him, he will listen. Man, I wanted to stop right there. But then it says, you will make good on the promises you made to him. You made any promises to God and not kept them? Do like I do. Forgive me, Lord. I fell short again. And he'll pick you right back up. Pick you right back up and get you going again. Verse 28, you will pronounce something to be, and he will make it so. Light will break out across all your paths. If you notice, we're going to be hitting a lot on that Job 22:28, this message. Now, in Matthew 16:18-19, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, will not be victorious over it. Verse 18, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The keys to the kingdom of heaven. Real simple. A no on earth is a no in heaven. And a yes on earth is a yes in heaven. Jesus is trying to make it real simple. And we all have the same duplicated keys. Jesus gave us all a set of keys when we were born again. But are you using the keys properly? Are you inserting them where they're supposed to be? Are you trying to put the yes where the no is in heaven? It's not going to work. And vice versa. Understand what I'm saying? You got to use the keys properly. And if your brother or sister points something out to you, take a moment and think. Maybe I put the wrong key in. That's why we have brothers and sisters in the Lord, to speak into one another and to listen. Don't take offense to what they say. Hear what they have to say. Let your spirit make the judgment. Don't let your head and your emotions take off. Power, love, and self-control. Prayer is decreeing a purpose that God can make so. These principles we must remind ourselves of because the world seeks to take the church and the people of God in another way. The world's government, our nation's government, the media in all its different formats, and of course, hell's kingdom, hate the message of the ecclesia. We are the ruling, reigning, and governing body of Christ on the earth, the ecclesia. We are to rule and to reign with Jesus Christ now. Now. In this present day and age. See, Satan doesn't want us to know that. And he uses government to try and control the church. You know what I said? Try. And the only way they're going to succeed is if we let them. We're not going to let them anymore. The church in America is wide awake. to awake. I didn't say woke. I said awake. You know, there are a few, though, that know and understand this because it's been dispensationalized by so many into something that is far off in the future. Yeah, somewhere. Somewhere over the rainbow. And it's not to be done right now. Few understand the true purpose of God's sons and daughters, the called out ones, the church, that Jesus came to establish. We need to be reminded of some things because we can change and disciple a nation. We can. And if we do, our personal lives are going to succeed at a much higher level. Promises that God and Holy Spirit have made to us can be individually and corporately activated. He can bring them to pass. And hell hates that message. Hates that message. If we do not engage ourselves in a conscious way with these principles daily, they can drift out of our minds so easily. Are you hearing me? Because I've seen it. Things you just sit there. One little thing can distract you from it all, and your mind is completely gone. You're no longer moving in the principles that you should be. We've got to have these principles freshly breathed into us, like freshly ignited into our spirits, so that they are a part of our conscious awareness. See, many in the Bible have allowed God's word teach us to be in memory only. I'm going to say that again. Many in the body have allowed what God's word teaches us to be in memory only. It's not a conscious activity with them. The principles of faith, authority, and decrees of God's word are not taught so we can know them. They are taught so we can do them. And it's time we start doing them. We are in a time and a season when very clearly we need to do the Word of God. We need to be working the Word because the Word works. Our nation and the world are divided and crumbling because the church and millions of Christians are not doing their assignments. Our nation and the world that most of us grew up with, it's coming apart at the seams because much of the church has not been doing what God says. And we have to be doers of the word. James tells us, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Now, I like how the NIV puts it. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says.
That's right.
That is not hard. Do what it says. That's what Jesus' mother told his first group of followers. Whatever he says to do, just do it. Don't question it, just do it. I'm telling you, if he told you it's in his word, just do it. No, you want to argue with him. Come on, how many in here have not got into an argument with God over that? I know I have. Yeah. Be at peace with God. Amen. So we need to allow the Holy Spirit to activate this in us. You will also decree a thing, and it will be established for you, and light will shine on your ways. We decree that we are receiving fresh power from an open heaven, enabling power, come. Creative power, come. Tipping power, come. Wonder-working power, come. Miracle-working power, come. Ruling and reigning power, come. Power of God, come into us. We declare it is upon us, corporately and individually as believers. We declare God's seed is in us and is activating itself right now. That's how you decree. Decree a thing. You also decree, or here, I like the Amplified. The Amplified says, you will also decide and decree a thing, and it will be established for you, and the light of God's favor will shine upon your ways. Favor and decrees of faith go hand in hand. We decree things by faith. Alexander Douay's translation of the Hebrew into English says it this way, which is an excellent translation of the Hebrew language, by the way. Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall come to thee, and light shall shine on thy ways. But it shall come to thee. Decree something and it will come to you. You will decree something to be and God will make it so. Or He will make it happen. Right. This, of course, refers to authority language. The language of kings, what we've been talking about the last few Sundays. The word for decree in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word gazar. Brother Dean, that's G-A-Z-A-R, but it's pronounced G-A-W, gazar. And it means to decide and purpose. It is used 11 times in the Hebrew Old Testament, meaning to, ready for this, divide, to sever, or to cut off. For example, gazar is the word used at the Red Sea. It says the Red Sea was cut off. You know, Dean, I got to tell you something, only because you identify with this. And I was thinking about this, and it was this morning that it just, I mean, as many times I've been going over it. Yeah, cut the sea off from going this way. But then what's to keep the water from coming back? Called a backflow preventer. He invented the backflow preventer, brother. Ask Dean, he'll tell you what a backflow preventer is. Keeps the nasty stuff out of your basement when it works properly. Okay, when Moses stood on the bank of the Red Sea and he spoke with authority, he used kingly language and put the dominion mandate into an active form, a bold command. He used the rod of authority and literally said to the sea, separate, open, divide. And who made it happen? God made it happen. Sounds similar to what our King said in Matthew 16:18, you have been given authority to declare things to open or close. open things with your decrees. You shall decree a thing, and it will be established unto you. Now, thing. That's a poor translation. It is the word Omer. O-M-E-R. Omer. In the Hebrew language, and its meaning, to speak, to voice words, to voice promises, or to speak words of commands. In other words, you shall decree commands, and they will be established unto you. Moses says that what you purpose, you must put into words of command. Decree them, speak them, and they will be established unto you. Speak like king's kids in the king's lineage. Speak like you are a joint heir with King Jesus, because you are. A simple word. We are tousia. Adoption. Hebrew. We are tousia. Been adopted in. You're an heir with King Jesus. Speak with the authority that Jesus gave us in His name. He gave us that authority. Speak it in His name. And when you want to be specific to make sure that those demons know you're talking about, I'm talking to Jesus of Nazareth is who I'm talking about. Because that's how they identified Him, didn't they? Then the demons said, you are the Jesus of Nazareth. Yeah. They knew who exactly who He was. They weren't being general with, hey, we know you're Jesus, right? No. They is Jesus of Nazareth, who He was. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Come into alignment with the dominion mandate of God in Genesis that we heard from the very beginning. In other words, in Jesus' name, God saw, sever and cut off hell. Sever and cut off the attacks of hell with your bold words of authority. That's in your court right now. Understand?
Yes, sir.
It's in your court. You have the authority. We're heading there. So command demons to go. Command them. Don't ask them to go. Tell them to go. How's the song go, Dean? Get on out of here. Get on up and leave. Ain't no devil gonna tread on me. Command healing to come. Hear what I said? You're looking for healing? Command it to come. Command revival to come. Command harvest to come.
Yes.
Speak with authority.
Yes.
Use king language. Decreeing. This principle is present in the book of Esther. Esther was a part of the king's household. Yeah, she was the queen. King hiked like this. Zaxis. That's how you pronounce that. I said, okay. Yeah. Because he really sucked. He's Zaxis. Okay, because it says that King Zaxis had signed an evil decree against God's people. He signed an executive order that was handed to him. He didn't know what he was signing. He just signed it. Oh, it's unfamiliar? Oh, okay. A wicked man named Haman, who was part of his government, and he conspired with others to have an evil law passed, and the king signed it. And then he went around going, I signed it. What'd you sign? Oh, I don't know. Would you say, am I getting an ice cream after this? Awesome. Okay, I can't wait for my ice cream. Hallelujah. Jesus. Okay. The law stated that on a certain day, anyone could kill any Jew that they wanted to kill. And they could confiscate all their property. The goal was to annihilate God's people, to absolutely remove them from the face of the earth. I know this is not how Teresa taught on Esther, but believe me, this is part of what happened in Esther. Mordecai and Queen Esther. Now remember, Mordecai is Uncle Mordecai. Okay? He was Esther's uncle. Well, they were called upon to reverse the evil decree. The church has been called upon to reverse the evil decree. Decrees that have been. You know, this is a fascinating story, though. And it shows the power. You gotta follow me, this. Of delegated authority, legal authority, given to someone else and used in the giver's name. You understand that? It's delegated, but it's real authority. We have delegated authority from Christ. Exousia. Delegated authority. That's real authority, not make-believe. We need to pay close attention to how words are used. The word decree is used 10 times throughout the book of Esther. 9 times the word decree is a translation of the Hebrew word dath, D-A-T-H. But Esther, she makes a decree in the book. And it's a different word. It is ma'amar. 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 She's going to come out with ma'amar. That's how she's going to use her authority and her voice. Ma'amar. Now that's how, you know, I told Doc, that's how I relate things so I can come out with ma'amar. Okay. And it is used, though, only one time in the book by her. One time. Doth is used 9 times, as I said. And it means an edict, a statute, a law, a command, a prescription, or legislation. Ma'amar means something spoken with authority. It refers to king's language or royal edict. King's language, authority language, was given to Uncle Mordecai and his niece, Esther. By who? By God. They just had to be willing to do it. To reverse evil legislation, laws, and government action. So in Esther chapter 8, I knew there was going to be time to go over the whole, but in Esther chapter 8, that tells us that they did use it and they did do it. Authority to decree against a changed and to change evil laws was given to them, creating a picture for us of what Christ did for us on the cross. As the king's heirs on earth, we have been restored to use authority language. We have been restored to speak with royal dominion. We have received authority in Jesus' name to stop evil prescriptions and laws, and to decree God's prescriptions over our lives, over our assignments, and over our nation. As joint heirs with Christ, we are here to rule and to reign in this life using authority language. Ma'amar, release words of power and authority and make kingly declarations so God can make it so. See, I thought of you, Tony. You're going to love this. We should not be like the man who joined a monastery in which the monks were allowed to speak only 2 words every 7 years. After the first 7 years, the new initiate met with the abbot, who asked him, "Well, what are your 2 words?" "Food's bad," replied the man, who then went back to spend another 7-year period before once again meeting with his ecclesiastical superior. "What are your 2 words now?" asked the clergyman. "Bed's hard," responded the man. 7 years later, 21 years after his initial entry into the monastery, the man met with the abbot for the third and final time. "And what are your 2 words this time?" he was asked. "I quit." "Well, I'm not surprised," answered the disgusted clerk. "All you've done since you've been here is complain." Don't be like that man. Don't be known as a person whose only 2 words are negative. You are to decree and give orders of declaration, positive, and they will be established to you. God will make them so. He will make them happen. You do your part, and He will do His part. See, until we decree a thing with our mouths, it is seed that remains in a dormant state. Start decreeing, start seeding and planting the heavens and the earth. See, it's time to decree what God says. Because what God says is what matters. Amen? Pray with me. Father, we repent for the condition of the American church. We repent for lukewarmness, for passivity, for watering down your gospel and devaluing your word, for refusing to speak up for life and righteous causes, and for our prayerlessness. We do not ask you to save America and restore our destiny because we deserve it. We ask based on the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin and unrighteousness. We ask because of your great mercy. We ask because you want to do this. You always desire to save. It is not your will that any perish. While we grieve deeply over much of the fallout, we are grateful that evil continues to be exposed. And we ask you to save us from the godless government we have given ourselves over to. Give us leaders with wisdom. Give us leaders who love the life of vulnerable babies. Give us leaders with common sense. Give us leaders who will honor our Constitution and our roots. Give us leaders who will fight for true liberty on earth. Give us leaders who know and honor you. We humbly, humbly ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to take communion this morning. And I know when you saw that. But I'm just going to remind them, just make sure you got your heart ready. Make sure you understand why we take communion. We do this in remembrance of Him.